Yeah, what if we could put up that first slide, the first picture there. I want to just start off what we're going to talk about today in terms of leading into the baptisms and what that means by just putting up four pictures this morning. And they're very simple pictures, but they describe something of God, who he is, why Jesus came to this earth. And the first one is that God is for us. You know, how we see God is so key to the way that we live. And the Bible says that God is love, God is light, God is holy. As we were describing in the worship this morning and singing about, God is radiant, God is pure, God is love. And God is for you. God, the Bible says that God actually made each one of us here with a purpose and a plan in mind. God is for us. He's the creator who loves us all. And we live under friendly skies. God so loved the world. God loves the world. God is providential. He loves everyone. He sends the rain and the sunshine on all people. God is for us. God loves us. His smile is towards all humanity. And he loves us so much that he hates the barrier that separates humanity from him. And that's a barrier called sin or self-centeredness. And so the second one is God with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to be with all humanity. And so we read in the Bible how he appeared to Abraham and to Moses and David. And he spoke with men and women because he wanted to restore mankind back to himself. He wants to be with us. And this is supremely demonstrated. The next slide. By the way, we were the ones with the baseball bat on.
Oh, no. Baseball hat.
Oh, the just checking that you're awake there. Baseball hat on. And the amazing thing is that he became one of us. So God now became one of us with baseball hat all included. And the frown has turned to a smile. That's a picture of the fact that Jesus became one of us. God became man. God became flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest miracle of all. And when we look at Jesus Christ, we begin to understand and see something of God's heart. Jesus came to put a face on God. And we see in Jesus Christ, we see his love, his holiness, we see the power of God, we see God's forgiveness demonstrated on the cross, we see God's sacrificial love demonstrated. And Jesus did all of that. He died, he rose again, he ascended, so that, number four, God could come and dwell in us. So no longer are we just with the baseball cap and the smile, but we have the presence of God in our lives. We can come and receive the presence of God for ourselves because Jesus has accomplished everything on the cross. He's died for our sins. He's taken that barrier that was between us and God out of the way. And he's conquered death. He's conquered the devil. He's conquered sin. And he's risen on high. And he's ascended on high. Last Thursday was quite a significant day in the Christian calendar. Anybody tell me what it was? Well done. Ascension Day. That's what it was. Often it's a day that we don't really think about too much these days. It used to be a public holiday many years ago in the UK. It's no longer, sad to say. But it's a significant day because it's 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead and made himself or declared that he was alive and showed himself to over 500 people over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On that 40th day, the Bible records, he ascended in the sight of eyewitnesses. He ascended out of their sight into the clouds. And he went back into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. Exalted, triumphant, king over all. And because of that, he made available his Holy Spirit and poured out his Holy Spirit. 10 days later, on a group of 120 people, and they were changed forever, those people. And today we're celebrating with Paul, Caitlin, and Xander, who've been changed by the same Holy Spirit. They've been changed by the same God. And they've encountered Jesus Christ for themselves. And so today is not a religious kind of happening. It's not a religious event. But it's a celebration of new life in Christ. And, well, that was right on cue. That's what it is. It's a celebration of new life in Christ. And it's wonderful just to see what happens when God changes one life and the ripple effect outward. And so a few years ago, we saw Dee come into the life of this church. She'd given her life to Jesus many years before that. But she came to fellowship with us and she made a recommitment to Christ. And out of that, a year or so later, her daughter, Caitlin, was sitting in one of these meetings, just like we've been worshipping this morning. And I remember it well. She was sitting about the third row back on my left here. And I remember Mary Lee going to her in the worship, and she was crying. And I learnt afterwards that Mary Lee asked her, "What?" I don't want to spoil your story here. But there was the Holy Spirit did something that day, and she was born again. I remember Caitlin coming to me. I didn't know it at the time, but that had happened. But she came to me after the meeting, and she gave me a big, rushed up, gave me a big hug. I thought, wow, that's different. something's changed, and something big had happened. She'd been born again. You see, friends, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot manufacture that. We can't make that happen. But as we open up our hearts to God and to the gospel and to the truth of God's word, the Holy Spirit comes and changes our lives. That's the wonderful thing that we're celebrating today. And for Xander as well, we've seen him just growing in the Lord and growing in his love for Jesus, in his boldness for Jesus, and just stepping out and in the children's ministry and even in the life group, coming regularly with his mum to our home group on a Thursday night and just participating. And even last Thursday when we were talking about faith, we were kind of going around the room, we were saying, what's faith? And we heard this little voice from the dining room table, "I know what faith is." And he gave us a brilliant definition of what faith is. And so, wonderful to see the change in people's lives. It's a relationship that we come into with Jesus Christ. And so for Paul, for Caitlin, and for Xander, they've all come into this relationship. The journey may have been different. God's a God of variety. We're all different here this morning. Have a good look around. Everyone's different. Unique fingerprints, unique hairstyle, for those of us who have the privilege of still having our hair. We're all unique. And that's the beauty of our world. God made us like that. And so our journey may have been different in how we come into the kingdom of God, but the common denominator is Jesus. He's the way in. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. And so where does baptism fit into this? I'm so glad you asked that question. And so I want to talk just for a few minutes further about the who, the when, the how, and the why of baptism. I'm going to kind of put the who, the when, and the how together, and then we'll look at a couple of things around why do we get baptized. And so firstly, who is baptism for? It's for those who've understood what the gospel is about. Jesus began his ministry by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the gospel." And after his death and resurrection, he said these words. He gave a commission to his disciples. He says, "Then he told them, 'Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere.'" I love that. Go and preach this good news to everyone, everywhere. It's the best news. It's the news that everyone needs to hear. "Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. You see, it's a choice that we have. We don't have to believe. We can refuse to believe. But if we refuse to believe, that barrier between us and God remains, and we remain in a prison of sin. We remain in a prison of self-centered living. We remain in a prison of our own world. And the Bible says we remain condemned. Because we're all born with this problem of sin. But the good news is that Jesus has come to remove the barrier. And as we see what he has done for us, we can respond and say, yeah, I believe. I want to receive this life in the Holy Spirit. And I want to take it, Lord. I confess that you are my Lord and my Savior. And that's what Paul and Caitlin and Xander have done. And they've come into this place of faith. So who is baptism for? It says it's for those who have believed and repented of their sins. Repentance simply means to turn from our sin, to turn from our selfish way of living, and to turn to God. It's a 180 degrees turn. It's like going down the highway one way and you realize, whoops, I'm going in the wrong direction. You go off the off-ramp, over the bridge and back on the other side, and you go in a totally opposite direction. That is repentance. And so baptism is for those who've repented and believed in Jesus. In Acts 2, verses 38 to 41, it says the following. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. So that includes everybody here today. This promise is still available to you. And as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he was a preacher. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this crooked or perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. So what's that saying to us? As we just keep that up, it says, when you receive the word of God, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And as they heard Peter preaching about Jesus, his whole message was about Jesus. They said, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And you will receive two gifts. It's wonderful to receive gifts, isn't it? Well, these are the two most priceless gifts that any human being can ever receive in their life. One is forgiveness of sins, to remove that barrier so that we have access again to a holy God who loves us so dearly. The second gift is eternal life through the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness of sins, the barrier removed, eternal life as we receive the Holy Spirit. That comes by confessing and declaring, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And as we receive those gifts, amazingly, we are added to God's family. We become a child of God, a daughter and son of this King who is on the throne, who will never be removed from the throne. Yeah? Kings in this earth, they come and they go. Governments, as we saw last week, they come and they go. Yeah? But this King will remain forever, eternally King. And you see, everybody sitting here today has a God-shaped hole in their lives. Everyone has actually an inkling that there is more to life than just 70, 80, 90 years on planet Earth. Because God, it says in the Bible, has put eternity in every one of our hearts. That we are crying out for something more. You see, you are a spiritual being. It's not just, you know, flesh and blood, physical. There's an inside to you. You know, the best things in life are not things, are they? And the best things in life are relationships, are family, are love, is joy, is a sense of community. The best things in life come from within. Where does that come from? It comes from a God who created us, who is eternal. And so you and I are an eternal being. And we will either spend eternity with God forever, or we'll spend an eternity without God forever, and we'll die in our sins. But we will live forever. There are two divergent destinies when we die physically. One is with God in heaven forever, and the other is without God in hell forever. God doesn't want anybody to go to the second place I've mentioned now. But we have a choice to make, to believe in Jesus and live life to receive his forgiveness and enjoy that life forever. If you refuse to believe, we remain condemned. And ultimately, if we're in that state when we die physically, we will go without Jesus into a place called hell. God wants us to enjoy life now and life to the full. And Paul and Caitlin and Xander have received that life. It's an awesome thing that we celebrate today. I remember as a teenager, as a family, we were quite a religious family. We went to church every Sunday, but none of us in our family knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. None of us were born again. See, it's not about coming to a church building on a Sunday. It's about coming into a relationship with Jesus. And what happened was my brother went away to university and he encountered some friends there who were real believers and started to go with them to the church that they went to. And he started to hear the gospel preach about what Jesus had come to do, to die for our sins and to give us life. And he responded to the gospel and he became a Christian. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He was baptized in water and he came home. And we could see there was a change in his life. He didn't go around bashing over the head with a Bible. He didn't do that. He just lived his life, his new life. And me being the little brother, I saw there was a change in the big brother. And that's what drew me to Christ. And it's a wonderful thing when there's that ripple effect in a family. And the incredible thing is, as the years go by, that ripple effect just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Changes lives all over the place from one person who makes a commitment to Jesus. And it's wonderful to see what God is doing in these lives today. So when should we get baptized? Immediately we are saved. Immediately the door is open for us to be baptized. So, Zari, if we could put up Acts chapter 8, please, and verse 12. And then we'll just go to verse 35 to 39, if that's okay, if that's possible. Acts 8. Here's a great story that illustrates this thing wonderfully. It says, when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They believed and they were baptized. There wasn't any long delay. And then verses 35 to 39, it says, then Philip is now with an Ethiopian eunuch who's on his way back to Ethiopia, having been up in Jerusalem. And it says, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture that he'd been reading, trying to understand, it says he preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? You know, he's like, I've declared Jesus is Lord. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, etc. And so immediately he was baptized in water. And that's the pattern that we see all the way through the book of Acts. And that eunuch goes on his way rejoicing, and the gospel goes into Africa. So it's like the gospel just starts to spread all over the world with momentum. So there was understanding, there was repentance, there was faith, there's baptism in water. All of those things go together. I remember when I was at university, a few years later after I'd given my life to Christ, there was a friend of mine who was in the Christian Union with me, and he was in a different church to the one I was at, and he was getting baptized one Sunday. So I said, I'm going to want to go along and witness this. And it was the most powerful, simple statement that he made when he got up to get baptized. He said this, he said, when I was a child, or when I was a baby, I was sprinkled as a baby or christened as a baby because my parents wanted me to be. When I was a teenager, I was confirmed because the church wanted me to be. But now I'm getting baptized because I want to get baptized. You see, he'd been through a whole kind of religious upbringing of being christened like I was christened. But the Bible doesn't talk about christening and like being confirmed, and like I'd been confirmed as well. The Bible doesn't talk about that. But but he'd come to faith as a teenager at university, and he's saying, now I want to get baptized. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus that leads to baptism and that leads to a declaration of faith, my relationship in Christ. And so we see, maybe we might ask the question then, how old do you need to be baptized? And basically, old enough to understand the gospel. Yeah? Old enough to understand the gospel. I was 18 when I was baptized. Lynn was 11 when she came to faith, and she was baptized when she was 14. Jenny and Lorna were 5 or 6 or 7 years old when they came to faith and were baptized. I heard from a friend of mine just on Friday, a good friend of ours from the church that we used to lead in South Africa, and a young guy who used to lead our young people's group, and he and his wife went out to plant another church not far from the town where we were. And they've got 3 children now, and he is baptizing their eldest child today, whose name is Josiah, and he's 5 years old. Wow. And he told me 3 weeks ago, Josiah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, spoke in other languages. And you see, so God can do supernatural things with children at a very young age. But the thing is this, they believe. They've come to a place of faith. And so we see a number of times in the book of Acts where whole households came to faith. Let me give you one example, Acts 16, verses 31 to 33. So Paul and Silas said to the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. So they all heard the word. And it says at the end of verse 33, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Verse 34, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God, with all his household. So all the household heard the word, all the household believed in God, and all the household were baptized. So the important thing is understanding and believing. So why is baptism important? Why is it important what we're celebrating today, what we're witnessing today? Four quick things. Firstly, baptism is a public declaration of my faith in Christ. It's a public declaration. See, Christianity is very personal, incredibly, intensely personal. It's a personal relationship with Jesus, but it's not private. It's to be shared with others, as we've said earlier, this good news. It's a declaration of my faith in Christ. And in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, this is what it says. No problem. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Thanks. Sorry. Wonderful. No, it's the wrong one, actually. Let me grab it. That's it, thank you. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, notice that, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, when is that confession made in the public arena? It's made at baptism. And believe in your heart that God is raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now that happens before baptism. There's a confession that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And there's a salvation that comes. We are saved. But there's a declaration of that, a public declaration of that today when we are baptized. That this is what has happened to me. I've repented of my sin. I've put my faith in Jesus. And I am a Christian. And verse 13 further down says, "For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And you know, as Paul and Caitlin and Xander are declaring their faith in Jesus today, and as I'm sharing the gospel with you today, there's an opportunity for you, if you do not know Jesus Christ, to actually come to faith today, to believe on Christ today. It's happened at many baptismal events in the past. We heard an account a couple of years ago in a time of outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Wales, where 44 people were baptized on one evening at this meeting in Wales. And as the 44 were baptized and the gospel went out, a further 16 responded to Christ that evening and were baptized the same night. So it went from 44 to 60. And so today is an opportunity not only for us to see people baptized, but actually to respond to this great King Jesus and be saved ourselves, and to put our trust in him, put our faith in him. So it's a public declaration. The second thing is it's a significant step of discipleship and obedience. Jesus, in his great commission, says, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit." It's a command for us to obey. But also, he gives us an example to follow. Jesus himself was baptized. And it's a wonderful thing that when in the scripture in Matthew chapter 3, when we read that Jesus was baptized, it says he went down into the water and came up out of the water, full immersion, baptism, that's what it is. An immersion of the whole body, symbolic of our whole being given over to Christ. Jesus went down into the water, came up out of the water. The heavens opened, and the voice of the Father said over his Son, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the form of a dove. And so there's something very powerful that's illustrated there in terms of baptism, that it's an act of obedience. It's an act of submission to the Father. And it's something that we do because Jesus has given us a pattern to follow. And as we do that, as we obey the Lord, even in this act, there's an empowering through the Holy Spirit. There's an affirmation of God the Father upon our lives. Thirdly, baptism is important because it's an outward expression of something that's happened on the inside of my life. I remember a number of years ago we baptized a young Scottish girl in the North Sea. Up at Arbroath, and before she got baptized, we asked her, "Why would you like to get baptized? Why are you wanting to get baptized?" She said, "Because I want to seal the deal with Jesus. I know him as my Lord and Savior, and I see that baptism seals the deal." And the Bible talks about baptism being an identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Yeah? And when we put our faith in Jesus, we are born again. We've been given that new life. We're now in Christ. In Christ. And everything that happened to Jesus has happened to me. My old life has died with him, and my new life has risen with him. And baptism is an outward declaration of what's already happened to me on the inside. I've received this brand new life. I've become a new creation in Christ with a new identity, part of a new family with a new purpose and a new destiny. And then fourthly, in the New Testament, water baptism and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit go together. And I just want to read a quick scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 1 and 2. And it talks about the Old Testament where the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Paul's talking about that account and that story. And he was saying, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And it's a picture. The cloud in the Old Testament was a picture of the presence of God. The presence of God leading them out, leading them forward, leading them out of Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land. They were all led by the cloud. They all went through the sea. And as we move into the New Testament, what we see in the book of Acts and we see in other parts of the New Testament is this thing of, as we come into Christ, that water baptism and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our lives are things that go together so that we move out of bondage through our lives into the promises that God has for us. And we live in victory and we live with a sense of purpose and a sense of, freedom and victory in our lives. And so today, as Paul and Caitlin and Xander get baptized, we believe that this is a step of it's a step of obedience. It's a step of declaration of their faith. It's a step of witness. But also it's a step of wanting to walk in intimacy with God, with the Holy Spirit, and live out their lives, live out the freedom that Jesus has given them to the full in the power of the Holy Spirit. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask Paul and Caitlin and Xander to come forward just now. Maybe we'll kick off with Paul, and then each one of them are just going to give a short testimony, a short story of what Jesus has done in their lives, and share why they want to be baptized today. And so, Paul, do you want to come in? Let's give Paul a good welcome.
It's on. Yeah. I want to get baptized today because, as a child, and as a 12-year-old child as well, I was christened at a very small age, and at 12-year-old I was confirmed in the Catholic Church. Really didn't understand then what was happening, but over the years I made some bad choices and went to places I never intended to go. I always believed that there was a God. I just didn't know his true character or intentions. But I thought believing in God, even the twisted view that I had of God, would be enough. I always had an empty feeling through, though, and no real comfort or peace, even though I had all the material things that I should make someone happy. I had two diving incidents a while back. Sorry. Had two diving incidents a while back where I ascended from 30 metres and should have ended up with the bends, which is the DTs, as we call it. Also had my motorbike accident last year, leaving me injured, but that became the pivotal bit of my life, where I started to think there was something more that I needed. I've seen Dee share God's love and her growing relationship with Jesus as I came to see his real characters and intentions. Began to respond to that love, and God was continually calling me as that motorbike was kissing the road. I prayed, and God met me on the tarmac. And afterwards, I knew I was on the path where, for me, there was no turning back, although I still resisted. Still took me a while, though, to commit my life to Jesus, but thankfully he is patient and kind and did not hold it against me. I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Saviour, and he has given me peace, happiness and love that God has been trying to show me all these years. I shared something with Malcolm a couple of weeks ago when we were doing our discipling up at the school in my office, and Malcolm had asked me if I had any worries about getting baptised or if there was anything that I needed to speak to him about. And it didn't come up. It came up that the only thing that I was worried about was when he was dunking me in the pool was my knee. And I could see that Malcolm hadn't thought about that at that time, and kind of started getting a bit panicky, which he did, because he didn't think about that. And it wasn't until I sat down and we were talking about it, and I says, look, Malcolm, don't worry about it, because I've got faith in the Lord that he's not going to let you hurt me on this day. So that was one thing. And another thing as well is, obviously, Lynn will know, as a physiotherapist, that you're supposed to be doing exercises and all this stuff, and I haven't done one iota of exercise since my accident. And as you can see, I can move my knee no problem. So I've put my faith in the Lord to heal me. And the day that a prayer meeting that we were in over here one day, and everybody was praying, yeah, I was sitting there thinking, yeah, whatever. But after that day, I never had any pain in my knee, and that's when I started to really believe that there was something in the power of God and healing and things as well. So I feel so blessed to start this day, not only with my beautiful daughter and my family, but also with all my friends that are here today. So thank you for coming.
Caitlin, yeah. Go for it.
Thank you. As Malcolm was saying, one day I was sitting in church. I don't know what it was. Just started crying. Mm-hmm. So I gave my life to God there. And then one time in life group, I think it was. Yeah, life group. Sean, one of our youth leaders, asked me once what life was like before I had a relationship with God. I told him I felt like I was in a hole. I felt I was being buried alive by life. I wasn't happy. It was so hard. However, a hand reached down into the grave and pulled me out. His name was Jesus. The heaviness I felt disappeared. It was like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. Being baptized is my testimony to the world about how God has changed my life. I am following his command and thanking him for rescuing me from a very dark place and for giving me a life out of that pit of despair. Mm.